Is everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
All right. I need to stretch. Anybody want to stand up and stretch with me for a minute?
Yeah.
You know, get the back going, a little yoga pose. No downward dog necessary, I don't think. So how's everybody doing? Okay? Okay, so welcome to the Amen Clinic. I am Dr. Scott Scheritz. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you all for coming. All right, so I am a hyperbaric physician. I'm also an integrative, I bill myself as an integrative hyperbaric therapy specialist. What I do is I use hyperbaric therapy in a lot of different ways, but the key to almost everything I do is that the physiology of hyperbaric therapy is so universal, and we'll talk about that. But it's about wound healing. It's about decreasing inflammation. It's about getting oxygen to areas of our brain and our body that are just not getting enough. Maybe at a certain time, at a certain moment, maybe it's a chronic thing, and it can be a number of different problems, okay? But before I get any further, I want to thank the Amen Clinic and Daniel for having me, of course, and Sean. And Sean had his first hyperbaric session today, so I'm glad he was able to give you that experience. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some patients that I've treated over the years. And my website is integrativehbot.com. All right, so first lady I want to talk about is a lovely, high-functioning executive. Actually got treated here at the Amen Clinic as well. She worked at a very high-powered job and unfortunately hit her head with some high heels on. These things happen. We trip and fall. Daniel doesn't wear them too often, I don't think. But, yeah. But, you know, this is a very simple thing. She wasn't drunk. She wasn't just tripped and fell and unfortunately hit her head directly on a doorknob and passed out. She lost consciousness. And like Daniel was talking about before, you don't need to have an unconscious episode to have a traumatic brain injury, right? But this, in this instance, she did. She went to the emergency room like many millions of these people in this country do, but her workup was normal. She had a CAT scan that didn't show anything abnormal at all, and she was sent home. But unfortunately, that was just the beginning of her process, as many have found. Over the next 3 months, she got significantly worse. Short-term memory was gone. She couldn't remember anything. She couldn't remember people's names, where she was. She couldn't concentrate, couldn't follow directions any longer. And she actually developed severe migraines. Unfortunately, she got severely depressed, impulsive, and ended up trying to kill herself twice. Ended up in a psych ward for about 35 days. And when she was discharged on a kind of host of our favorites in the TBI world and the regular medical model, antipsychotic, antidepressant, narcotic, and sleep aid medications, okay? So this is how traumatic brain injury is treated across the country, really. This is the standard of care. None of these drugs, by the way, are actually FDA approved for traumatic brain injury. They're just approved for the symptoms. They're approved for depression, or they're approved for anxiety, or ADD, or ADHD. But none of them are for traumatic brain injury. They're just really masking the problem, right? Trying to treat the symptoms of what's really underlying all of this. She came to the Amen Clinic and had a SPECT scan. It showed very, very obviously her concussion. She had 80 sessions of hyperbaric therapy, which we'll discuss, of course. She did some nutritional changes, some supplementation, and she was like a new person. She stopped having headaches. She weaned off almost all of her medications. She could concentrate again. And she stopped getting lost. And that was actually what she was most excited about. She stopped wearing high heels, though. She didn't go back to high heels. Just, you know, flats for her, she said. So this is a second patient, an Army vet, longtime Army vet. So he served back in 1972, a long time ago. And there's a lot of press these days, like we were speaking about with traumatic brain injury from the recent wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. But it didn't just happen now. It's happened in every war that we've ever had. Shell-shocked, in the NFL world, it's called stingers. You know, that's another one. So he had 20 hyperbaric sessions, and his nightmares that he'd had for 30-some-odd years just went away. Never came back. He had violent temper, outbursts. He was able to wean off most of his psychiatric medications. He was a new person, and this guy had been through several marriages, and he just was amazed at how well he did. And so my experience is hyperbaric therapy is usually more effective the sooner that it's used. However, we have some cases like this, people that have had symptoms for a long period of time that do remarkably well as well. And this is the last case for you. It's a pretty dramatic case of an 18-year-old male with a severe traumatic brain injury. He was nonverbal. He was basically a partial quad or couldn't move really anything. He had a tracheostomy to help him breathe. He had a PEG tube to help him eat. And after hyperbaric therapy, over about a year's time, he was walking and conversant. And he was given up on by his physical therapist, his occupational therapist. And this is a dramatic case, okay? Dramatic case. But these are described in my world. And what it comes down to is that hyperbaric therapy heals wounds, okay? It heals them no matter where they are. And we know this. There's thousands of studies that I can show you that show that this is the case. And it's FDA approved for wound healing. That's what it does. These are what insurance covers if you were going to go to a hyperbaric facility and you had insurance and you had any of these issues, your insurance would cover it. Radiation injury from cancer. Cancer therapy with radiation. Radiation actually causes a wound that we can heal in a hyperbaric chamber. Diabetic foot ulcers. These are really common. And hyperbaric therapy is very effective at healing these. Refractory osteomyelitis, or refractory bone infections. Some severe infections that we see in hospitals, too, like gas gangrene and flesh-eating bacteria. Hyperbaric therapy is very effective, and that's actually how I got involved in hyperbaric therapy. As a physician, I saw patients with carbon monoxide poisoning and necrotizing fasciitis go into hyperbaric chamber and come out, like, entirely different. It was pretty amazing. So that's what we're doing. We're healing wounds. But the issue is, how do we see these wounds? And that's where the Amen Clinic and other clinics like them come in. They can actually look at the brain and see it in a functional way, okay? A CAT scan or an MRI, they're a static image. Okay? They don't give us an entire picture of what's actually happening at the cellular level, okay? An MRI, as long as you have just a mild or moderate traumatic brain injury, probably won't show you anything. But underlying all of that is a metabolic change that could be quite dramatic. And these are some examples of SPECT scans here at the Amen Clinic. Okay, so what's happening in the chamber? It all comes from diving medicine. Going underwater and you're diving, all that water above you is exerting a pressure on your body, but you don't feel it, right? But everybody knows if you pick up a bucket of water, it's heavy, right? That's changing your physiology, actually. And we're just simulating that pressure in a chamber. And when we do that, we can get so much more oxygen saturated in your body. So oxygen, as you all know, is probably something that you need, right? You can't live without it for very long. And it's in this capacity, in a hyperbaric chamber, where we can dramatically increase the amount of oxygen in your body, into circulation, that causes a cascade of wound healing, a cascade of it, in all senses, and we'll talk about that in a minute. There's two ways that our body carries oxygen in our blood, just so you're aware. The red blood cells are the most common. But there's this liquid of our blood called the plasma, where we can saturate about 1,200% more oxygen in than we can just breathing at sea level, breathing even with a face mask. You can't do it with a face mask of oxygen or nasal cannula like you may have seen at the hospital. The key is the pressure to drive oxygen into the body. And it's done through physics, some laws like Charles' Law and Boyle's Law and things like that. If you guys like physics, we can talk about it later. Okay, so these are the hyperbaric chambers. There's a number of different types. The one to the top left is what's called a multiplace chamber. Many patients can be treated all at the same time. The monoplace chamber on the top right is a hard shell, single occupancy chamber. The ones on the left here are usually seen in hospitals, can treat many patients at the same time. And the ones on the bottom, that's called a soft hyperbaric chamber or mild hyperbaric oxygen therapy. They all have different roles, okay? And I'll discuss that a little bit at the end, but just so you all know that there's different types of chambers. If you go to a hyperbaric clinic, most of them have hard chambers. The soft chambers can be used at home, but under significant supervision and with lots of education. And their only indication is probably for neurocognitive issues like what we're talking about here. Although I would argue that it's more for a chronic maintenance than acute treatment for things like TBI and stroke, and we'll talk about that more at the end here. So what is happening in the chamber? So in the acute setting, thumbs up. Everybody thumbs up in hyperbaric chamber. In the acute setting, what hyperbaric therapy is doing is preventing tissue loss. It's preventing loss of the vital tissue that we have in our body, whether it be our brain, our heart, our limb, if it's an infection. Because we can diffuse oxygen into tissues much further if there's more saturated. It's just, you know, it's like osmosis, right? You go from high to low pressure, high to low concentration. It's the same idea here. So in the acute setting, if you put somebody in a chamber, they're having an acute heart attack, they're having an acute stroke, acute traumatic brain injury, you can prevent brain loss, neuron loss, heart tissue loss. And we have studies to show you this, actually. It's pretty impressive. From a cellular energy perspective, hyperbaric therapy is giving the cells its currency of life, which is producing energy, ATP. That's because there's oxygen involved. We cannot live without oxygen. And what hyperbaric therapy can do is improve the metabolism of cells, regenerating ones that may be at risk for not functioning normally or dying, and optimizing those that are already functioning well. And then as far as modulating the DNA, you know, what hyperbaric therapy does over the long term is change how DNA is expressing different things, okay? It upregulates things that are responsible for growth and decreasing inflammation, and downregulates things that are responsible for inflammation and programmed cell death, where the tissue dies. So that's over the long term. And in an acute traumatic brain injury, hyperbaric therapy decreases pressure and swelling. It does that by actually constricting vessels, and this saves people's lives, okay? And there's a study that I'll just point to very briefly that shows that this was the case. Patients got 3 hyperbaric sessions with acute severe traumatic brain injuries, just 3 over 3 days. Their mortality rate was 50% less, okay? So pretty impressive. It decreases inflammation, which is a dramatic thing in both the acute and the chronic setting, and inflammation is one of the challenges we have in a number of different disease states, and hyperbaric therapy can really decrease that as much as a steroid can, and there's been some studies to show that too. And steroids are sort of our cure-all, sort of anti-inflammatory. It prevents cell death. It protects the area around the injury from further damage. So the way I like to describe this is if you can imagine a still lake and you throw a rock into it, right? In that initial impact, that's an area of brain injury. That's the area of that's directly damaged. But around that's all those ripples, right? The rock gives these ripples around. And those are the areas around the injury that are really at risk for dysfunction, for malfunction. And what hyperbaric therapy can do in the acute setting is protect those areas from having issues with decreased blood flow and damage. It ramps up the efficiency of wound healing in all capacities. It also produces stem cells from the neurologic tissue and allows them to go to the areas of damage. Now, in the chronic setting, the most significant area that we're really affecting is the pericontusional tissue, I guess we call it in a stroke, peri-infarct, but the area around the center impact, like I mentioned, that is at risk or not functioning at maximal capacity. We increase the amount of blood vessel growth in this area too. So what can happen is you're not only damaging tissue, but you're damaging blood vessels. We can regrow these blood vessels, and we can see this on SPECT scans, which I'll show you in a minute, and build up the body of tissue around the area to allow it to be vital and to really regrow and regenerate. All right, so there's a number of studies that have been done. This is just a list. I'm not going to go through this with you guys. But just to know that there is some controversy, and some of you may have heard about the controversy, whether hyperbaric therapy works for traumatic brain injury, whether it's an effective strategy. And the answer is that, in my mind, of course, it's yes, that's why I'm here, right? But any controversy is really just political, right? You have very large organizations that have a lot at stake. You have the Veterans Administration, who will have a lot of patients to treat, potentially, if hyperbaric therapy was indicated or was approved for traumatic brain injury. And you have people like the NFL, and as we heard earlier, the NFL is not about to admit much unless they have to. Now, there was a recent lawsuit, you may have heard, the class action lawsuit against the NFL for something like $1 billion, just about. And they are going to pay out for that. But that's not specifically related to brain injury. Although it's partly related to that. So, all right. So spec scans are very powerful, but you know, I wanted to also mention that Daniel Amen's here on this particular citation. The cool thing is that we can see these now. We can actually diagnose them. If there's any question, you can get a spec scan. And you can say, do I have a traumatic brain injury? Is there an injury there? And you can see, you know. And you can delineate as well whether somebody has PTSD, which is also very important, although there's a lot of overlap, as Dr. Amina was mentioning. So this is a spec scan not from the Amen Clinic, but from an Israeli research group that does tons and tons of research, just churning it out. And they've done a number of studies in the last several years. This is on traumatic brain injury. And what you're looking at here is a spec scan. This is a different formulation than the one here at the Amen Clinic. But they did a study on traumatic brain injured patients. And they looked at their scans before and after. And if you look on these pictures here, the greenish, sort of bluish, is poorly functioning brain. And then as you go up, the white is sort of higher functioning. And the bottom of the brain here is pretty injured, right? A lot of green, a lot of yellow. This is the side of the brain here. And then you look, after hyperbaric therapy, there's a significant decrease in the amount of brain-injured tissue. More perfusion, more blood vessel growth, healing of that tissue. Now, we're not promising miracles here, right? We're not saying that if you have, like I mentioned before, if you're quadriplegic and you can't speak, that we're going to have you conversant and walking and mentally intact. But we're saying that we can make dramatic improvements in these patients' lives. And that's been my experience. In this particular study, they actually correlated on some actual testing that they gave the patients, written testing, computer testing, where they improved also correlated to where their brains improved on these scans. So that's pretty cool, right? So that's, yeah, you got better. You were going to get better anyway, you know, because that's what a lot of these doctors are going to say. You know, you had a concussion, like they said to Sean, you'll get better. You're going to be fine. But the truth of the matter is that 20% of people after a concussion still have symptoms after a year. Now, they may not be dramatic, but they can be very mild, or they can be pretty significant, but about 20% of people. So it's, and these things build up over time. And we talk about the second hit phenomenon, right? Where that first hit you're okay, but the second one within a certain period of time, you know, you're never the same. So this is a pretty significant study that showed us, this is the case, I don't want to go too much longer. This is just another example of somebody who came through the Amen Clinic, Marvin Fleming, you know, pretty famous guy overall. This is kind of a before and after. You know, you can look at his brain and you see the differences, right? The holes that Dr. Amina was mentioning, much significantly improved, you know, from one to the other. And symptomatically much better, too. But you can correlate these things now, which is really good for people like me who can say, look, it's not just about, you know, how they feel, but I can prove it to you. I can show that their brain is getting better. Okay, so as far as protocols go, severe TBIs are usually treated in hospitals and not with hyperbaric therapy, unfortunately, yet. There's only one place that's doing it, and that's in Minnesota. So if you get an acute severe traumatic brain injury, hopefully you're in Minneapolis, I guess. You know, but even them, they're not really doing it sort of as a standard of care. They're the ones that did the study. Now, as far as acute concussions, like Dr. Amina mentioned, concussion, traumatic brain injury, they're all really the same, you know, thing, and just all sort of severity indexes here. There is likely very much a utility for hyperbaric therapy in the acute concussive episode. Because, again, we don't know who's going to go and have symptoms 3 months later. Unfortunately, we can't predict whether your symptoms are going to get better tomorrow or if they're going to get better in 3 months. We just don't know. And this is the case for a lot of things that unfortunately that we do is, who's going to get better, who's not going to get better, who's going to get better after a stroke, who's going to get better after traumatic brain injury, you know, who's going to get, better after a radiation injury, you know, for instance, that, you know, you get radiated for cancer and you get this injury, is it going to go away, an acute radiation injury, or is it not going to go away? You just don't know. So we're often using this in my practice. Depending on the severity, the hyperbaric therapy is typically done from 2 to 10 sessions-ish. Everybody's a little bit different. There are some dietary changes and supplements that we typically recommend, and that's it's sort of a comprehensive effort, okay? But it's great that there's so much emphasis on this now, right? We have this new movie that just came out with Will Smith. We have, Brandi Chastain, who's one of the former U.S. World Cup soccer players who got that was one of the main people that got what Dr. Amini was talking about earlier, PASS, which is if you're less than 11 years old and you don't get to head the ball anymore, right? Because these things, it's real. These concussive episodes, even though they're mild over time, it can really build up and cause issues. And there could be a role for soft hyperbaric chambers in this. The physiology is a little bit complicated, but the basic is that it's basically milder hyperbaric therapy, and it's increasing the amount of oxygen in circulation. And if that's all you have available, and that's something that you should do, as far as I'm concerned. If you have access to a hyperbaric chamber that's a hard chamber that can go to deeper pressures, that's ideal. But, you know, if I were in, you know, on some mountain I had nothing else, or if I was in a place that they had nothing else there, that's what I would get into one of the soft chambers for sure. And as far as chronic hyperbaric therapy, or chronic traumatic brain injury and hyperbaric therapy, what I should also mention is that hyperbaric therapy is not a one-time thing, no matter, almost for anything. But the more therapy you need is related to the chronicity of your disease, your injury, whatever it might be. If it's an acute injury, you need less hyperbaric therapy. If it's a chronic injury, you need more, just like a lot of different types of therapies and modalities out there. And they're done in successive days, meaning that Monday through Friday with the weekends off, you know, is your protocol. Depending, it could be 40, like it'll be for Sean, or it could be, you know, 2 for somebody that just had a concussive episode yesterday and they have some mild residual symptoms of nausea and vomiting or concentration issues or whatever, okay? And the reason why it needs to be cumulative and successive is that hyperbaric therapy works on the DNA level, like I mentioned, right? So things are changing over time. Building blood vessels takes time. Regrowing blood vessels. Regenerating tissue takes time, okay? Especially if that injury has been longstanding. If it's been a shorter period of time, less therapy is needed in almost every instance. And I've had patients, as I mentioned earlier, have up to 120 hyperbaric sessions. That's uncommon. Mostly our regimens anywhere between 40 and 80 treatment sessions, like I mentioned with that first patient with the high heels. Right. So that's usually as many as we do. But for patients that have had injuries for shorter periods of time, sometimes they don't even need more than, you know, 20, you know, or 10, or even less than that, you know. And then the delineation between acute and chronic traumatic brain injury is also very gray, right? So hypothetically, after about 3 months, if you still have symptoms, it's now called a chronic traumatic brain injury or post-concussive syndrome. But there's a lot of gray area in there. It depends on how severe your injury was, you know, what your symptoms are, and you kind of have to create a protocol for somebody based on who they are as an individual. And that's really what I specialize in what I do, and working with patients here at the Amen Clinic and other places to figure out exactly, you know, what's going to be the ideal. Now, in the acute setting, we don't have a whole lot of studies to back up what we do. And the reason for that is because, like I mentioned before, we don't know who's going to get better and who's not going to get better, right? So some people do, some people don't. But, you know, if it were me, you know, obviously, you know, I would be getting into a chamber if I had a concussion because you just don't know what's going to happen. If you can heal that wound sooner, it's much easier for the body to do it in the short, if there's less of a lag by the time you get there. But like I mentioned before, with that veteran that I treated, got injured and had a TBI and PTSD from 1972, he's still improved in the chamber as well. So all hope is not lost. So, you know, just a final slide here. Just there's lots that we can do in a hyperbaric chamber. And it all comes down to wound healing for the most part, okay? Traumatic brain injury is probably the most significant thing that I see because, well, a couple others, but maybe traumatic brain injury and RSD, reflex sympathetic dystrophy, are maybe the two that I treat that are the most dramatically changed in a hyperbaric chamber. But there are others that you can look at, and if you have questions about, we can talk about at the end. You know, I've had lots of experience with veterans, with, you know, with us regular civilian folk, and everybody that I've treated in a hyperbaric chamber. I'd say 98% of those that I've treated have gotten better. And there's a couple other things that are really important, and I think Dr. Amina really hit on this when he was talking. It's not just about going in a hyperbaric chamber. It's about understanding what else might be going on, if anything. Getting some blood work done. Getting a sleep test to make sure you don't have sleep apnea. Really looking at your medications and saying, do I really need to be on all these? And what can we do about weaning off some of them, maybe when you're going through hyperbaric therapy, in a medically directed way, okay? But it's really important to look at the entire picture. And I'm very, very specific with my patients that say, doc, I need to get in the chamber. Like, I got, you know, I had this injury. And I'm like, oh, well, let's hold off for a second here. Let's talk about this and see, you know, make sure we have an entire picture of how we're going to help you, okay? Because I don't want to waste anybody's money, okay? And I don't want to waste anybody's time. And I don't want my money wasted or my time wasted. So we want to make sure we do everything that we can to make the protocol ideal for you. And that kind of brings me to the last point, or maybe the second to last point, because I don't want to end on this, is that hyperbaric therapy for traumatic brain injury is not covered by insurance, okay? So it's going to be an out-of-pocket cost to you as an individual. Well, there are some organizations that may be able to help. One of them is represented here today, called the One Hit Away Foundation, and Jill and Brett are here, and you can talk to them. Jill's got a name tag, and they're the... I'm going to try to say this right, Jill. I'm going to mess it up. They're the only nonprofit that specifically deals with sports-related brain injury. I did it. Nice. Okay. So there are resources out there for you, okay? But it is an out-of-pocket cost, and that's something you have to consider when you're looking at this, okay? But in the end, it's sort of a risk versus benefits and sort of cost versus benefit analysis that we all have to make. Okay, and I'm going to leave it there, and please feel free to ask questions when we're done, okay? All right?